This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Hey, Ali, you want to tell me something about LaughPass?
Yes, man. LaughPass is $159 annually, but discounted to $139 with the podcast coupon code.
Code ITC. LaughPass members receive access to unlimited stand-up New York shows if you reserve spots in advance. VIP seating at each show. A free ticket for a friend to each show. A free drink upon arrival to each show.
A bottle of wine on your birthday week to drink during the show, but cannot leave the premises, though.
Don't you leave the premises. Direct alerts when big-name comics, such as myself, and other celebrities drop in. LaughPass is expanding to comedy clubs across the country, so be sure to check out www.getlaughpass.com and sign up to receive alerts for when LaughPass reaches your area.
Time for the End of Conversation Podcast with Funny Man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, hello, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation.
Yeah, the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. We back in the building.
In the building.
Both of us.
Good to be back.
Muhammad,
you know
back.
Saying? Back in front of the mic.
There you go.
Back with the listeners. You know what I'm saying? Back to life, baby.
Shout out to Soul of Soul. Shout out to Soul of Soul and Back to Life.
Back to reality.
That shit was hard. You see,
Kanye.
Yeah, that shit felt so gentrified.
Man.
That shit took all the soul out the soul to soul.
And then, you know, everybody love it.
It's a campaign to get back to the essence. I see what it is. I just didn't like the execution on that particular one.
I mean, you know, who else gonna be in Calabasas, dog?
Yeah, man.
You know. Got access.
You know, sometimes you gotta.
I don't know the RTA run out down.
I've never really been there. I've been past there. I've never been able to say I've been and experienced what the culture is at all.
Me
so
neither.
I mean, if that's what
even,
it is.
I hadn't even heard of it until Drake.
Yeah, probably.
5 a.m. in Calabasas.
Right. It sound fly. Don't sound like you're going to hide. Calabasas don't sound like there's a lot of struggle going on.
It's not. Uh-uh. But, it, you know what I'm saying? I did the Zillow on that shit.
Uh-huh.
That shit ain't nothing like over there where Puff live.
Where Puff live at? What area
he
is
He stayed
that?
Over there. I forget the name of it now. But he stayed down the block from the Playboy Mansion. So, you know what I'm saying? When you're looking at houses and shit, like house size and all that shit is one thing. You know, Calabasas probably got some bigger cribs. Like
right.
Drake says, pool might be bigger, right. House bigger. But them prices ain't the same.
It's location, location.
Because
Calabasas out there, right? That's right by Malibu, right? Or is that... Is
toward that direction. It's like Brentwood out that area. Oh, you know right. what I'm saying? Going out that way. But, you know, this is an extra zero on the house prices. In the Beverly Hills section of it. Well, not Beverly Hills, but wherever that section is, where the Playboy Mansion is, there's another zero on them shits from the Calabasas joint. Not that I'm in the market or not that, you know what I'm saying, any of it is relevant.
Listen, man.
To vision. Anything, but.
A vision board is a vision board.
But I just wanted to see what it was about.
That's what's up. Yeah, I haven't. So the Playboy Mansion is still around? Is it still around, or did it?
Nah, it's still around.
So it's like a museum, or
nah, you got a new owner, but they passed the ordinance that he wouldn't change it. He'll update it, but he wouldn't tear it down or change it.
Okay, that's nice. Okay,
so
that's interesting.
The new owner, yeah.
Yeah.
Humbly Hills is the name of it. Humbly Hills is that area.
Is that area? I think I've heard of that. That's kind of hard. There's another area too. I forget. That's like right in the middle of the city, damn near like by. It's like I think it's Jefferson Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Like, but you gotta like. It's like you gotta turn this way, turn that way. You're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a lot of little spots like that. It's a little spot in South Central.
Yeah.
That's some fly shit,
yeah.
But it's like halfway gated. It's not gated, but certain like the blocks on the perimeter of that shit is gated.
Right.
So it's only like one way to get in, a couple ways to get in or whatever.
Right.
And I hadn't been in there, but last time I was in L.A., we passed by, and my man was like, yo, there's some cribs back in there. Mm. I'm like, where? It's like, right here in the middle. Like, we're in the middle of South Central.
Yeah, that's dope.
I Zillow them bitches. Crazy. There's some cribs in there.
You be Zillow, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I Trulia. Yeah. I go Trulia on it. I don't Zillow, but I got, yeah.
Zillow be having good information.
I'm going to have to check that shit out.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll definitely look at that address like, oh, what's going on here? Just to see what's what. Yeah,
I be on the Zillow because, you know, it's like when you're in a piece of property and the shit, you know what I mean? If you're not selling your house or no shit like that, you don't really know what your house is valued or no shit like that.
Right.
But then when you start thinking about busting moves and shit, you be like, hold up, you know what I'm saying? If I did this and I did that, what the fuck could a nigga get?
Right,
you know what I'm saying? So you gotta get on your Zillow to start seeing where you fall.
Looking at that market.
Right, okay, shit. If I sold my career, I definitely got to move out of New York. Because they give you enough.
Yeah.
Either stay where you at.
Yeah.
Or get the hell on.
Get on this flight.
If you're trying to come up, you're going to have to get on, you know, put some distance between you and New York.
Hilarious. Damn.
You know what I'm saying? That should be like, damn, boy, I got to go far.
Right.
Might as well just stay where I'm at.
Right, yeah.
That's why people, like, when they retire, they hit Florida and places like that when they leave New York. That's right. Why them cities like that filled with New Yorkers.
Because
you just go down, you cash your lotto ticket, and go on down south.
Just chill, stretch it.
Stretch out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's all relative. That real estate shit is a crazy hustle, man.
You know, all of that is a hustle because it's like stocks.
Mm-hmm.
I've been looking at Apple stock. Apple stock has dropped a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It went down. Still, you know, pricey for stock, but it went down quite a bit. The high was like 233.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like 178 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then they got some shit that they're making a big announcement on the 25th.
The TV shit, probably.
Maybe.
They're guessing that it may be their streaming platform.
Apple.
This will be Apple's streaming platform.
Right. But weren't they supposed to collaborate, or is Disney just doing their whole independent thing?
Disney doing their own thing, but Disney probably going to keep that relationship with Apple that they've been having for years since Pixar and all that shit.
Right.
Since Steve Jobs.
Oh, Apple's related? He's down with Pixar?
When Steve Jobs left Apple, when they fired him, he went and started Next and then bought Pixar.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so when Pixar started to blow up, it was because Steve Jobs was there.
So Spielberg is not even associated with Pixar no more?
Was he ever?
Who ran Pixar? I thought that was Steven Spielberg, no?
Nah.
Who
started? Steve Jobs owns it, but it was already existing as a small animation company. Jobs bought it.
I don't know why I thought that was a Steven Spielberg piece.
Because what happened was that the computer that Steve Jobs was building, the next computer was powerful enough to run the animation shit.
Right.
I guess that's how the conversation started. I might have it all fucked up, but he bought it. And then when he went back to Apple, you know, it was kind of integrated within Apple. So like in the early iTunes, when iTunes first came out, when it was just music, they always would have these little Pixar shorts that you could watch on iTunes. So the shit had already been built for like video.
Right.
But they hadn't exploited it yet. They had a lot of shit back in the day. Of course, they started the podcast shit.
Right.
They had streaming radio from all over the world on iTunes.
Right.
They had streaming video in your little widget shit back in the day. They just never put the whole formula together. They already had it set up. I guess now they're going to release their streaming video platform. So we'll see how it goes.
That's what you probably think this big announcement is, because it's being built as a big announcement.
Man, that's the only shit they got left.
You got to make all your announcements feel like something, huh?
They're going to put out iPhone XT.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they have definitely Tim Cook or Tim Apple, as your boy calls them. Yeah, man, they've done some bullshit-ass announcements. You know what I mean? Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
iPhone XT.
Part 3.
Part 3.
Yeah, with a new headphone jack.
Right.
Speaking of which, I found the old iPod back at my sister's house. I was an old 80 gig scroll piece, and it charges, but it won't respond.
Which one was it? The white one?
The black one.
Black one. So is it a second generation one?
It's one of the generations. I don't know exactly what generation. I got to find that. It's like the 30 pin. It's one of the 30 pin pieces. And
I still got my joint. I got a few of them.
Yeah, I got an old shuffle. I got a couple of things, you know, because I'm a hoarder.
The iPod Mini, we got, I mean, both of my boys had those and they didn't do shit with them. So both of them sitting on my, my little just Mac museum box.
Right, right. The Museum of Physical History, or Physical Media.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, with this, like, with stocks, you know, it's a bit of a, I've been looking at, you know, I've been talking to people and they're like, you know, putting shit in your savings is one thing, but it's not really going to yield nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, why don't you invest in some shit, play the market a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but you got to have a strategy long term versus short term. I was talking to my man Sox Diddy about that. We had him on the pod. He hit me with some insight. But back to, you know, kind of similar to the real estate thing. It's an asset, you know? And it's like, that shit look good. But when you cash it in, it's like, I might have to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you had to determine whether you cashing in or whether you leveraging it, because you could borrow against it to go another place.
Right.
And then rent the spot out or whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And let it earn income while you're somewhere else doing whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to level all the way up, you might have to use all the equity in it to go to your next spot.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a decision that you had to make. And then... And, you know, Zillow help you try to understand where the markets are.
Right.
And if you watched it, like, I've been watching it for a few years. So if you watch it long enough, you could see when trends start to happen. You're like, oh, hold up.
What you seeing? Anything now? You got anything you want
to? I mean, nothing in particular. I just know, like, say in a market like Atlanta. I just left Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? That's one of them spots where, you know, they got mad people there. Right. My wife is from there.
Right.
It's like one of them spots where, like, you know, after it's all said and done, you might end up there. So I always watch it. I've, you know what I'm saying, had stuff there before.
Right.
So you just watch it to see how it goes. And it's like Atlanta is in a weird space where everything's high right now. You know what I'm saying?
High as far as money goes?
Yeah. Like, okay. You know what I'm saying? It's not high as New York, but it's high for Atlanta. Like
exactly.
Same shit you used to see last year for $80,000 or 2 years ago for $80,000 is $250,000 or some shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's like shit. But it's like to a point where everything can't be high. Like, the whole fucking city can't just be at 600,000. Like,
it's like Supreme.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like, come on, man.
You got to burst this bubble at some point.
This the hood. Right. You asking the same. You asking Buckhead prices. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To a certain extent. Like, low-end Buckhead, you could get high-end, you know what I'm saying?
Bankhead.
West End. Bankhead. Bankhead is still, like, a attainable situation. But they say Bankhead is what's next. That, you know what I mean? Bankhead runs along the west side of the Beltline, which is they still developing. And, you know, they predicting that to be, like, the next boom shit. Like, a lot of big companies are buying shit over there now and just holding on to it.
Right.
Because they saying, you know, because they're looking at what the east side Beltline did.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which is, like, out of here.
And the east side also doesn't have a lot of, like, studios around that area. What side are the studios on? Like Tyler Perry and all that.
No, Tyler Perry is out, not in the city no more. He like Fort McPherson, which is kind of like towards
the airport,
Cascade and the airport, somewhere between Cascade and the airport. You know what I mean? Over that way.
Oh, okay, though.
Ben Hill or whatever the fuck over that way. But his old studio is on the East Side Beltline. His first one, the Croc Street Studio.
Didn't he at one point have the old Delta Terminal as a studio? I thought
he had one. That he moved out of, and then he just moved to Fort McPherson one. But his first one was right there on the East Side Beltline.
Okay.
Like, that's like one of the main hubs of that bitch right now.
Uh-huh.
Where they turned that shit into like a Croc Street market where they had like all these, you know, food hall type of situation, bars.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You could walk here to and fro, to, you know.
Oh, I think I've been in there.
Yeah.
It's kind of open air. Not open air, but it's like a... Feels like you ever been to Industry City in Brooklyn?
I've seen it on the expressway. I've never been up in there.
Okay.
But it's like open-y.
Bunch of like stalls and shit. Like not stalls, but restaurant.
Yeah,
I think I've been in that spot. It's a lot of that.
Not Pont City Market. Because that's like that. That's like Industry City kind of.
Maybe. I mean, you know what, man? I'm going to be honest with you. Just about everywhere, for the most part, outside of maybe New York. I've been in all of these places. I know how to get around in Atlanta. I know how to get around in certain cities. But when you say this area is this area, I don't really maybe know shit by the areas. Right. But it could. I don't think it was Pont Street. It could be. It could be, but so much development going
on. And it's booming, so it's all this shit going up. But just like being in New York, right?
Yes.
When the first boom happened, right before the recession,
right,
and everything was going crazy, and then the recession happened, and like say all of these people started buying these million-dollar buildings in the hood.
Right.
And then, you know, they were just, you know, kind of hoping and praying that the hood would just disappear all of a sudden.
Mm.
But then the recession happened,
mm-hmm.
and then the hood was still there, and then they still there, and then they don't, you know what I'm saying, the market is not such where they could just sell it and get what they put in it.
Right.
You
know, damn.
What I mean? You can't rent it for what you paid, you know what I'm saying? So you kind of stuck living in the hood, yeah. with the hood. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
I had one neighbor like that who was like, he bought one of the first $1 million brownstones.
Yeah.
And he was kind of like, he never said it, but you could tell he was hot.
He had some buyer's remorse.
He was hot.
So this shit didn't flip like I thought.
It didn't flip.
Why, some bullshit.
Why they still here?
Right.
And with that slowdown,
yeah,
it gave the homeowners that were there in Bed-Stuy an opportunity to be like, oh, you know what? Oh, I'm going to hold on to mine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, shit, you know? So it didn't flip real fast, and it still hasn't all the way flipped. They flipping the edges, but the core of the shit is still, you know what I'm saying, what it was. So you could see it happening like in somewhere like Atlanta and like say on the West End and toward like Bankhead. Like it's like a frenzy. Like the price is going crazy and people trying to buy shit on the Beltline and all that. But it's a long way. Bankhead is a long way from not being the hood.
Mm,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not next year. It's not the year after. It's a long.
It's a long term play.
Yeah, you got to be ready to settle in or just buy and hold.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And in some of these neighborhoods, the prices don't suggest a buy and hold. Like you
want to see some performance.
Yeah, you want some performance at that number because you could go somewhere safe and stable.
Calling the cops every day. What's going on?
You're going to be hot.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? You spend $400
and that shit take it too
and
long.
That shit take 10, 15 years to flip. And it might dip before it flip.
Yeah,
because when a city like New York, when it dip, it don't dip that far because it's not a lot of stock. It's like the geography is very small, so it's a lot of people in a small amount of space. So
the demand is always
the demand is there.
Yeah.
Like in a wide open space like somewhere like Atlanta, when it dip, that shit dip. There's people I know people that's been underwater in their house since the old recession. They just not coming. They just not breaking even on their numbers.
What's the old recession? 07?
Like the 07 to about, you know what I'm saying, for some of us to shit this year.
Right. Damn.
Some of us still feel the effects of the recession.
Wow. You think there's gonna be another recession coming? I've been hearing some
shit. I'm not sure. I'm not no economist, but you know what I'm saying? It seems as though there'll be some more dips. I'm not sure if it'll be a full-scale recession, but some markets will take dips.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I'm saying, I'm looking at the Zillow, like what Atlanta's doing, this shit is unsustainable. You know what I mean? For every neighborhood within the 285 perimeter is like up.
What's that coming from, you think? You think it's all of the studio?
It's just development and the way that they're pitching. Like, yo, this is going to be the shit. Look at what happened here. And there's a lot of building. They building a whole bunch of shit. But you starting to see that shit slow down.
Because
it's like this building and two buildings in Buckhead.
Mm-hmm.
They were building condos. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Starting at like $500,000 for the studio, $2 million for the upper. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Three bedroom,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, 2,100 square feet or some shit like that. $2 million. That's a hard sale when you could go get a real, real mansion.
Right.
In a real, real neighborhood for about 2 minutes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? You could get an estate in Buckhead in the real shit.
Right.
At $2 million.
Yeah.
So.
And feel like it.
And you know what I'm saying? And so.
That's the worst to ever spend $2 million. People be like,
is it?
This is what you got?
Huh? So they scrapped that shit. That shit is all rentals now.
Oh.
On two of these brand new ass buildings. So you could see where the market is starting to hit a cap. Like, hey, y'all, this shit can't stand all that what y'all trying to do everywhere.
Right.
So, you know, you just lay it. I think I'll lay and wait and see what happens. Hope for a dip. Mm-hmm. And the next dip, be ready to jump in on the shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's how I'm looking at it. So I'll be playing the Zillow.
Playing the Zillow. Oh, man.
What's good with you?
Man, what's been good with me? Nothing. Same old, same old. Just chilling. Just trying to maintain. I was at Eastville this last past weekend. Good times there. Shout out to everybody that came through there. Just been doing spots, trying to keep my head down writing, you know. And be focused. You know what I mean? Just trying to all the way be focused. We'll see, you know, see what it yields.
You checking out any of this new music?
I'm here and there. I'm listening to a lot of it. Oh, you know, it's like email. You know what I mean? You get through, you glance at it a little bit, give it a listen. I heard pretty much, what have I heard? I heard the 2 Chainz album. Heard the Solange album. Heard DaBaby. Who else I'm listening to? DaBaby, Doja Cat, this kid St. John.
Oh yeah, that's
Biggs
artist.
Yeah, Reason. I'm down with TDE.
Oh, you listen to a lot of shit.
I listen through it.
I heard none of
it. I listen through it. I don't, you know, I'm not retaining shit. I'm skimming through it.
All I got to 2 Chainz and Solange.
How you feel?
I feel like 2 Chainz, I know what I feel like, really? 2 Chainz is a solid album. It's maybe a couple of trap bangers short of being, you know what I'm saying, one of my, you know what I'm saying, favorite albums right now.
Mm.
Like, if he had probably about 2 more. You know how Drake albums have, like, 1 too many, 2 too many R&B records?
Right.
Not Scorpion. Scorpion had a whole album too many.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes Drake would fall in and it'd be like 2 R&B songs less, and that shit would have been a banger.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? And I know 2 Chainz, I could see, you know, I'm a 2 Chainzologist.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see where he's going with this shit. And I love the positioning.
Well, talk to it. What you think? What's your take on the whole thing, his direction?
I think what 2 Chainz did was I think he tried to kind of fill the void of everybody wanting the old Kanye. So the soulful samples.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The you know what I'm saying?
Boom bap.
The boom baps, some, you know, some intelligence, some trap, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think the feeling where he was going for in that, especially in the first half of that album, is very old Kanye-ish.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Which, to me, would be a very smart move because it is a void and people are looking for it and hoping that he would bring it, the old Kanye, back.
Mm.
And, you know, even Kanye looked like he trying to bring the old Kanye back.
Yeah.
So I think it's a void that would be smart to hit if that was his thought process. Maybe it wasn't. I'm just outside of listening in, and that's just what I seem like. Okay, boom, a trap nigga aiming at a space that could take him to the next level.
Right.
And that would be a space that would take you to the next level.
You think they're looking at 2 Chainz to bring the old Kanye back?
No. What I'm saying is lame.
It's a
sound.
I hear that.
It's a feel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying 2 Chainz wants to be Kanye.
No,
I'm just
that.
Saying in that space of music, that feel is a space where I think he was trying to touch on. That's just me listening to the music.
I see what you're going. I see what you're saying. I think it's like it's that authentic hip hop, you know what I mean, genre, or the real hip hop, the boom bap, right? The essence, the little bit more substantial, a little bit more heavy soul, a little bit more introspective bars as opposed to just swag rap. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like 2 Chainz can get lyrical, mm-hmm. and he could be thoughtful. So, and he's I think he's been one of them those kind of rappers that could appeal to both sides. You know what I mean? I think this album is not bad. I think sometimes 2 Chainz marketing might, I don't say outshine the album. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's just my old thing. It just builds the expectations so much higher. But then it's also, I thought I read that he was working with Q-Tip on something. You know what I mean? A couple other type of producers. Mm-hmm. I was looking for a little bit of that on there.
Like what? What? It sounded like it's some of that could have been Q-Tip.
Some of it, but I don't know. It's not a bad album. It's not a bad album, but I don't know. I guess I was looking for... I got to listen to it again, but it's not my favorite 2 Chainz album.
Right.
It's not a bad 2 Chainz. I don't think 2 Chainz has put out a bad album yet. I still think like maybe my favorite 2 Chainz album might be Boats 2, maybe, or Boats or whatever like that. But, you know, there's some shit on there. There's some shit on there. I don't know. Maybe my expectations was a little bit... Maybe I was thinking this was going to be his blueprint. You know what I mean? Like, remember when...
Well, but see, Jay-Z's blueprint was based on Jay-Z's blueprint. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't a departure in sound or style.
It was a departure in sound, for sure.
I mean, it wasn't far off of what Jay-Z always talked about.
Maybe not subject matter-wise, but right. Sonically, it was definitely the old soul. Before that, his shit was a little bit more glossy, a little bit more bright, a little bit more like radio leaning.
Right.
Blueprint was a little bit more like we gonna take it back. I'm still that nigga, so I'ma get the mainstream mm-hmm. attention, but sonically it's gonna be a little bit more pulled back.
But see what 2 Chainz did in this record, he changed both the sound and the topic and the subject matter and all that. So his style of rapping wasn't his usual club bangers. You know, he know how to make a club record.
Right.
So I think he focused a lot on intentionally making it more, you know what I mean, boom, bap, or whatever the fuck you want to call it, more substance. And he didn't focus as much on his trap sound, which made him who he is.
Right.
That's how it sounded to me. Because even the trap records on there wasn't his best club type of records to me.
Yeah, it's all right. It's a few records on there. Like, I like the Ninth Wonder record. I like the beat on that. That's the one where he said it sounded like Jay should have been on there. I like how they flipped the...
He said he tried to get Jay.
He said he tried to get Jay. Jay was like, not yet, you know? Jay wanted...
I don't think it was personal.
No, I don't think it was personal. I think Jay wanted to be the one to make the call.
And I think Jay is cognizant of who he actually is giving something to.
Right.
Because, you know, you ain't just giving it to 2 Chainz. You're giving it to who he on, Def Jam?
Yeah.
You're giving it to Def Jam. You're mm-hmm. making a play for a lot of people. So the decision becomes a bigger decision to me.
Interesting. Yeah, probably, maybe. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Probably a good point.
At that level, you thinking like that.
Yeah.
At least I think you would be thinking like
that.
Add
value to pretty much everything.
Right.
The flip of the A. Marie joint with Ariana Grande, that was hard.
That's what it was on there? Ariana Grande. But I think what it did is a great transition album. Because on his next record, he could kind of move in other directions without it feeling so harsh.
Yeah. I feel like he could have gone further on this album. I think for whatever reason, I think he's got the license to do whatever he wanted to do sonically. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of proven himself to be able to appeal to all these things.
Yeah, theoretically. But then when he jump on the stage and you play a new record that's a departure, people are like, whoa, I want that. I'm different. I want that. You know,
right.
I want that shit what you've been giving me. What is this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be saying it if I didn't see it in a room where you play some new shit. And it was like, nigga, like, yeah, okay. So, but now that you heard the album, you know what I'm saying?
It's different now.
You put some promo on it, you know what I'm saying? Get a couple of the records booming on the radio. And then you'll have a license to move a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was a bold move. I think his marketing is always top notch. So
yeah, his marketing is always dope.
So it's a great setup for, you know what I mean, that next move and to be that artist where he's trying to go. Just like I felt like Wayne when he came back with the Carter 5, it wasn't his best album, but it's a good record to say, all right, you know what, Wayne still got it. You know what I'm saying? When he could drop his next shit that's more current and on time, you know what I'm saying? I think they'll still be ready to take it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Because if he came back and it was whack, then nobody be really waiting on that next record.
Right, but I feel like 2 Chainz is in a position to where he could have took a bit. I'm not going to say the risk wasn't big enough. He could have gone even further if he wanted to. It is what it is. I mean, it is what it is. It's not a bad album. What you think of Solange's album?
Man, I think it's interesting. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it sounds like one of them records where, you know how they say, you know, you have a kid that's an artist, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if you let them draw on it too long, you know, they'll mess it up. But mm-hmm. you got to know when to take the paper away from them.
Right.
I think on this particular record, they stopped it and they finished it right where it needed to be finished. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It sounded like a bunch of having fun in the studio
mm-hmm.
records that, like, all right, boom, that's it.
Right.
We done with that.
Right.
Move on to the next one.
Right.
And it felt really fun. It felt like she was having a good time. Even though it was like a cool out record,
right.
It felt like she was having a good time with the record and with the music and playing with shit. And
mm-hmm.
and you don't really get to hear that a lot. It's reminiscent of to me, in a whole nother space, of like I said, when Wayne was doing those Squad Up mixtapes.
Right, it felt like a mixtape.
And he was just, you know, wilding. But then you hear his album, and then it didn't have that same energy.
Right.
You know what I mean? They, like, stole all of that energy out of him for the record until, like, the one that blew up, which was it, Carter 2 or whatever? Which one was the one that blew up? 3?
Carter 2 was the one that kind of was the blow up. That's with, like, Fireman and all of that shit. And, right. Carter 2 was Fireman, Mrs. Officer, all that shit.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So, like,
Carter 1 might have been Fireman. I don't know.
And Carter 1... After all them Squad Ups, Carter 1 didn't sound had that same energy. But
yeah.
I think on the one that blew up, it had a closer energy.
Yeah.
So Solange, with hers, it just sounded like it has all of that good, fun energy without a... It didn't sound like a record exec was in there like, hey, we need that single.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Where's the hook?
Right.
I mean, you're going to say that one line the whole song?
Right. it felt like she was on... She's just leaning into her own artistry.
Yeah, her Nina Simone, just on her, you know,
do what the
in.
Fuck she want to do. Like, you know, you won a lot of goodwill off the last album,
mm-hmm.
so now it's kind of like, do your thing. It's like free play, you mm-hmm. know. It reminds me of, I saw somebody say it's her Aquemini. I mean, not Aquemini, ATLian. I don't get that mm-hmm. analogy. It reminds me more of like, you know what Erykah Badu did, like Worldwide Underground, mm-hmm. or like, you know what I'm saying, where it's not as much of an album, was more, it's like a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know what I mean? This song might just be about how this beat sound, how this bass knock, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's well curated. She know how to just curate nigga shit.
Right,
in the highest manner.
Right, in the highest... I mean, in a way that it don't... It feels great.
It feel like it's framed.
Right, framed nigga shit.
You know what I mean? Look at that shit. It felt like we're in a museum.
Right.
Looking at the shit that was on your block in a different context. But the essence is still there. It just got a nice frame around it. You still feel the essence. Mm-hmm. You still smell the grease.
Mm-hmm.
But, It's presented in a way to where you're like, I appreciate the merit here. Yeah, I like that shit. I like it. It's cool, man. I like it. I like the kid, DaBaby, from North Carolina, Charlotte. He could spit. He could rap a little bit. What else I listen to? Yeah, I mean, you know, all of this shit.
Corday, YBN and Corday dropped the record today. He had just delivered when we were shooting him in L.A.
You had heard the joint before?
Yeah, it was playing the whole weekend. That's the shit he played for Puff.
Uh-huh.
And
he dropped it today?
He dropped it last week.
How's it doing? People loving it?
I mean, I see people giving it I love it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Have Mercy is the name of it. I like the record.
You this got shit to see it pre-release.
I mean, even before I seen it at the Oscar joint, they had been playing it all weekend.
Right.
So when I heard the first time, I'm like, oh, this shit, this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a few records, like, you know what I mean, that you hear that you just got to, me, I like to put a record on repeat.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I go through an album, and then once I find the record that I feel, the I go-to. Just put that on repeat for a minute before I even continue on. So it's one of those records that I had on repeat.
Have Mercy is what's called?
Have Mercy.
I'm going to look for it. It's an album or it's on SoundCloud type of thing?
No, it's on the
Apple streaming. Piece? All right, bad. I'm going to check them out. I got to get a YBN cats. They're listen. You know what I mean?
Speaking of YBN cats.
Yeah. Oh, what's that shit stand for?
Young boss niggas.
Young boss niggas. Young brawling niggas.
YBN Almighty J.
Oh man, Almighty J.
Almighty J.
Yeah, man.
He caught a bad one, man. I didn't like to see that.
I didn't. That's how I know I'm getting older.
I didn't like
because I
see
was
that.
Like, this is disgusting.
Because I had just met the little cat, man.
Mm-hmm. The young man.
And he a little man. Like he to me look like a little boy. You know what I mean?
He's a young man.
He probably grown, but he's like a little dude, man.
Right.
So I seen somebody make a tweet like, you don't really, you know what I mean, you don't really get no points for, you know, jumping
a young cat,
a little cat like that, man. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I guess you had to prove a point. I guess he talk his talk, and you know, sometimes when you talk that talk,
right.
You know that talk come walking up to you.
Right.
So I'm not sure what he was into or none of that. It just wasn't good to see.
Yeah, it's been I saw some of the clips.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't endorsed that shit at all. I don't like it. You know, I don't like seeing it. But what I did find funny, there's one clip where they fighting, or there's a big brawl going on in front of Saks Fifth Avenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like at least 15 motherfuckers just swinging and just wild on some rah-rah shit. Everybody just brawling.
Mm-hmm.
This old white man just walked through so unbothered, like, excuse me, this has nothing to do with me. You got to see this motherfuckers walk through. He didn't even look over his shoulder.
I'm quite sure.
That motherfucker walked through like he had a force field on. That shit.
I might have been the same way.
I think I might have crossed the street.
Oh,
I'm not
shit.
Even, don't try to come at, because, you know, sometimes I done been around a brawl, and where niggas is just, they just want to connect, especially now, everybody got their cameras out, everybody want that world star moment.
Right.
You don't want to be a free play.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
and it'd be different, too, because, like, again, they some
little guys.
They some little jokers, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know when a brawl get, like, dangerously real.
Right.
When it be, like, some real, you know what I mean?
Right.
Some real bodies being blown, you know, big fists and guns. You know, and she be like, nah, ain't got time to go.
Yeah.
It's a difference, you know what
right.
I'm saying? It, like, that shit look like, man, like, I live in front of a junior high school.
Like a scrap.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a little after school.
Tussle.
After school tussle. Just annoy you. Please don't. Y'all get off my side of the
right,
street so you're going to fall on my car.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you know when you look out the window, you be like, oh, shit, I ain't going out there.
Yeah, that shit look like it could get even charged.
That shit is getting crazy. Let me call the folks.
Oh, man.
Hey, it's a dangerous situation going on out here.
That shit could affect my Zillow.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't need that.
I don't need no strays coming through the window.
Please. Yeah, man. Shout out to that man. Hopefully he, you know, he come back better than ever, man. I don't like seeing that type of shit, though. It's bad for business.
See, Jay Prince put out a PSA.
This is about his third PSA he done had to put out, right? He done put a couple PSAs out. Listen,
I mean, he put the one out for Drake.
Put two out for Drake.
What was the second one?
Was it the first one with the...
with the recording.
What was the record? Oh, with the...
He had a beat playing. He was like, you know what I'm saying, Puffy.
Right. That was the first one. Then it was
put your
one.
Hands on my family.
Right.
That opened your family up.
Then it was another one after the Pusha T.
Oh, that Pusha T was just more like a press release. Like, you know...
It was still a... It was
we won't be...
Heavy on the press.
We won't be responding to that.
Right. But
so it wasn't no call to action.
It was like, we don't want to get in the mud with the pigs.
Right.
Some old wild
right,
shit.
Right. But it wasn't... Like, the first one with Puffy had the call to action.
Right. Okay.
And with Puffy, Baby, and Suge on one call on one PSA. and Sugar Bear.
Oh, he hit him with the Sugar Bear?
Yeah, he's like, damn. And baby, you're gonna pay my family, because as long as you owe my family, you owe me.
Wow. I like your Jay Prince delivery.
Hey, Jay Prince be putting it out there, yo, boy. Niggas, you...
Yeah, man.
It's like, what was the what was the commercial? When it's like, when such and such speaks, everybody listen. H&R Block. What's that damn commercial? It's an old financial commercial, like an investment company.
Okay.
When such and such speaks, everybody listens.
Right. I don't know, but I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he put out a little PSA.
Yeah, man. What was going on, man? I was listening to, on a different note, not even a different note, on a podcast note, I was listening to Mark Maron's 1,000th episode of WTF.
Mm-hmm.
It's an early podcast, one of the earliest podcasts I listened to, one of amongst the earliest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty interesting to listen to anybody that does podcasts, and that's, you know, the fans, but anybody that's like doing podcasts, and it's kind of interesting to listen to. They did 1,000 of them, and what they seen, you know, break it through. It was kind of interesting. What threw me, I feel so naive. I didn't realize how edited his shit was. Mm. I'd always thought it was just a regular conversation, like just free one form. Take, free form, like how we do. We, you know, all the stops and starts, the lulls, the fucking sips of
water.
Yeah,
you get it raw here.
Yeah, this is
unedited.
Right, this shit is straight out the booth.
Unless it's edited.
Yeah, you know. But yeah, this shit where they move in segments.
How you know?
They talk about it. They kind of pull the curtain back,
mm-hmm.
and that shit blew my mind because I've been listening to it for a long time, and I never. It don't feel like that. I was like, wow, you know. You know what I mean? Because to that point, our shit. Our shit, shout out to Matt, shout out to Chris before him. You know, we got good producers on deck, but you know, I guess we were in the vein of let the essence be the essence. Let it be the conversation. This is what it is. This is uncut, pure.
Right.
You know? And sometimes I would listen to other shit and I'd be like, this shit just sounds so
crispy
and not even like
in order,
right? Little corporate, organized, what's the buttoned up
NPR,
very well produced, you know what I mean? And us just sometimes pirate radio renegade feel, but I like that.
That's what we are, man.
There you go. But it was interesting to find that out. But anyway, there's a lot of other shit if you fucked with Marin, because I'm a Marin fan. I dig it. And it was interesting. That's just some side note shit. What the fuck have I been up to, man? I ain't been doing a whole lot of shit. I just been trying to...
And nigga D made his own transition to himself.
Right. Because I'm trying to think, what the fuck am I talking to y'all about? What we got to speak about?
You know,
man?
How to mean be like nobody.
Right.
D Lemon.
I've been saying that. That's one of the memes I ain't all the way understand or where the genesis of that meme came from, but I see it a lot. It's one of them where I didn't participate in it, but I get it. I see it a lot. I'm on the outside loop of that one.
Nobody's asked you where you was at.
Right. No, you at. We talked earlier. I just feel like maybe I'm out here. Just out here working. I'm trying not to be depressed. You know what I mean? Like,
all right. Shit.
I ain't depressed. I don't want to say it like that. That should sound like, you know.
Check in with my strong friends.
Right. Right. Right.
What's good, man? You good?
Ain't that crazy, but
good,
you know.
My man. You good? For real, dog.
That's why niggas don't open up.
For real, dog. I mean, you know what
I'm
saying?
Nah, I'm
I thought we was open, man.
No, we open, man. We transparent, man. Like that, nah, bro. We chilling, but I'm just, you know.
What's wrong?
I don't know. I got to do some new shit, man. Just feel like something, I don't know, man. I gotta read something. I gotta, you know,
reinvent, try some new shit,
put some shit out there, challenge myself a little bit more. When the last time you challenged yourself, where you like, yo, I put the gauntlet down, or I gave myself a deadline. You know what I mean? Like, man, self-imposed.
I do that all the time, but it's a lot of, see, in my situation, I've been out here renegade for a long time, so yeah. I dug plenty of holes in my life where, you know what I'm saying, you dig so deep in a hole that you be making major gauntlet plays.
Right.
But it don't look like shit because you be so deep
underground.
Still underground and shit. Nobody don't even see it.
They're like, yo, where he went?
It's like a seed that's right. Just sprouting. That right. Shit is, you know what I'm saying, wild, big, underground, right. But it hasn't broke through yet.
Right.
So, but what I do understand is you can't be too hard on yourself about that shit.
Yeah.
You got to keep shooting the shot and you got to get out your head about it. You know what I'm saying? And out here in this space, you know, you had to, like, you know, they say protect your neck. You got to protect your space. You know what I'm saying? You got to protect your creative space in such that, you know, you are responsible for it. You know what I mean? You had to make you happy about that shit. So if you live in your head too long, you won't take the shots. But if you take the shots, even if they work or don't work, you will feel good about them shits.
Right, because you're at least taking shots.
Yeah, so, and then the more you take shots, the more you start to think about the possibilities. Mm. The more you start thinking about the possibilities, the more open shit seems, and the more like, oh shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like Zillow, dog. Like, the more you see what's possible, because mm-hmm. I might be thinking, ah, damn, I might be fucked up out here.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at the shit that I got, and then I'm like, well, shit, if I do this and that, if I go there, shit.
I still got to play.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is a big play. I'm right. Like, shit, I'm great.
Right.
So the possibilities make you feel a whole lot better about what your reality is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you can move step by step, get into it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's my little check on your strong friends talk.
There you go. That shit was real, man. Thank you.
Yeah, no, you just got to keep the possibilities in front of you and not behind you.
Yeah. You got to do that.
Yeah. Because I be doing that shit all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this shit out here, you might wake up with possibilities, and by lunch, you like, oh, shit, the sky is falling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then by dinner, you're like, well, you know what?
What happens between lunch and the sky's falling? What do you think? And what do you think affects that?
Because you might be like, you might wake up in a good space, like, shit, I got this shit I'm working on. This shit looking good. Boy, mm-hmm. This shit could change the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Then, you know what I'm saying? Your wife call, I'll be like, well, shit. Well, what about this, that, and third? Did you check them up? Then be like, oh, shit, my right. Shit fucked up. It did, but you know what I'm saying? And then by the time you check in on lunch, it'd be like, you're like, well, god damn, I'm far away from being okay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But then you make a few plays. By dinner time, you're like, well, shit, what I'm tripping on? Shit, I just made that up right quick. Boom, boom, let me get back to my possibilities.
Right, because that shit is all fantasy when it's in your head and ain't even reality.
All of the shit, none of the shit is reality until it's done.
Until it's in the world.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, it be people around you or circumstances right. Around you that's saying, oh, shit, the sky's falling. God damn, well, you know what I'm saying? They submit to something that hasn't happened yet.
Right.
But in this world, shit, you can make, by dinner time, you can make some real shit. You could change your whole life by dinner time if you making your plays.
Mm-hmm.
For real. I done did it before. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I done did it before where, you know, shit, everything's fucked.
Right.
You hit one corner, bing, bing, whoop, shit, bah, make that call, how that's me. And right. Next thing you know, oh, shit, everything looks up.
Back on track.
Look at this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
saying? Keep moving.
Yeah, so
soul to soul, keep on moving, don't stop. Is that
keep on moving, don't stop? Hey.
Yeah, that's soul to soul, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but that ain't back to life.
That's not back to life, but you know, we still out here.
It's still the same club.
Yeah.
That was in Miami. Like that was the early. Luke had this club called Strawberries, and they had a musical routine.
Mm-hmm.
It was programmed.
Like first crate, second crate.
Yeah, but it was like a program. It wasn't, they didn't necessarily play it in the same order, but they played it in the same time slots.
Right.
So you get in there and they be playing shit like Back to Life and Soul to Soul and En Vogue and all that shit. And it'd be a motherfucker on the mic. 2-for-1 Heineken's at the bar.
Right.
Please
right.
Tip the bartenders, drink specials, blue iced teas.
Happy hour vibe.
Yeah, happy hour vibe. And then they're moving to the hits.
Little,
them,
Yeah.
Then they're moving to the more up paced hits. Then mm-hmm. they're moving to the bass. Then they go from bass to reggae.
Mm-hmm.
And they go from reggae to the slow jam.
And end it off.
Now they don't end there. They play the slow jams, and then that's like the at that point they don't even play slow jams no more in the club. But at that point, they would play, that's like Babyface Whoop-A-Pill. When mm-hmm. they played Whoop-A-Pill, that was like the climax, that was the apex of the club.
Yeah, you should.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you should have found somebody by now.
Yeah, you they set you up. They let you grind on them with the bass music,
right.
Grind on them with the reggae.
Yep.
Then they drop a slow jam right already. You already got a partner.
Right.
And then
right.
they play the motherfucker Whoop-A-Pill, and then all of the, it's mm. like a ghetto orchestra.
Yeah.
Because, like, all of the hustlers and all of the get-it girls, they be standing along the sides in the booths with the blue iced teas, singing, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whatever you want. It's like a big
the moment.
It's the moment. Like, yeah. It is, and everybody wait for it. Like,
right.
Everybody wait for this shit.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do that shit. And then shit, just the rest of the night go on, and you could do whatever you want after that. You could leave with your newfound partner, or you right. could stay to 6 a.m, have breakfast. You could do whatever you want mm-hmm. at that point. But that was the apex.
That was the finale, or that was the crescendo.
That was the crescendo. Like, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
After that, you could you did it all. You right. did it.
If you was an early bird, came in early and danced and had fun, you done had your fun for the
right,
night.
Right.
Or you could continue on through the night and mm. just do whatever the fuck. Like right. it didn't get empty. It just, you know what I'm saying? You just had decisions to make. Right. It's some people that didn't get there until right before that happened.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't know how far we went. That was a hard transition.
That's what we do. Make a left here.
Nobody. Ali. Miami.
There you go. 6 a.m, man. Just hearing that shit make me tired. Hanging out to 6 a.m. I'm just as removed from that as the almighty J beat down. I'm like, wow, that's.
Yeah, that was the life, man. 4, 5, 6. He's yeah. leaving out of there about 3, 4.
Yeah.
Then you go eat.
God.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that's like really when you ain't had nobody. You were still
that's
out
when
there.
You was in the world.
You was hunting, or you know what I'm saying? You trying to close at the mm-hmm. breakfast spot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you was closing, you would have been unclosed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You still out 6 a.m.
You stalling.
You know what I'm saying? You just don't want to go shoot. Home. You don't want to go home.
Yeah,
you out there, you just shooting at whatever's available.
Mm-hmm.
You just out there for sport at that point.
You know, it's lonely at the crib.
You know what I'm saying? It's over.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? At that point in life, you just didn't want to. I didn't, you know what I'm saying? You didn't want it to be over. Either you was going to be taking something so you could finish out the night doing that type of shit, or, you know, you just, it's always something. It's a 24-hour clock. And at that point in life, I felt like, shit, it was my right to exercise all 24 of them bitches.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, that's how it was. Like, shit, what time is it?
Live that whole 24.
It's 4:30. Ooh, I got this girl work at Denny's. She get off at 6.
Denny's.
Let's go eat free. And then, you know what I'm saying, I could close that out. You know what I'm saying? That's how you think. You like every point on the clock, you're like, I could be doing.
Mm-hmm. It's all programmed.
Yeah, it's certain shit you could be doing at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was the life. Now, shit, you be trying to change your life in them hours.
I just came back from B&H looking at some camera shit. We'll talk about that off mic, I guess. DSLR versus camcorder. I mean, versus mirrorless. All of that. I just found out about an external recorder,
mm-hmm.
meaning like now that could make the DSLR record longer than I didn't even know about that type of
right.
thing. I'll talk to you more about that mm-hmm. afterwards.
It's all about the application, what you're using it for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's about the third time I've been trying I got an external hard drive on my computer that's like I filled that shit up, so I had to buy another external hard drive, double the size.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to transfer over the information from one hard drive to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And this shit has been taking me almost 2 weeks. This is about the third time I tried to do this shit My time machine folder's probably been the one I realize has been giving me the biggest issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is the third time. This time I found out what I hadn't been doing all the time, and I hope I did it this time, is actually turn the time machine off so that it doesn't keep trying to
back up
while it's being copied. I mean, when I tell you this shit be taking like 2-3 days to move over, then it gets to this point to where it's like, it's moving X amount of files, then it gets all the way to like the very, very end, and at some point it just says removing 0 files. Right? So you figure, all right, maybe it's done. And they'll say 5 seconds left. This 5 seconds will turn into fucking 24 hours. And then I'll look over at the drive. For whatever reason, the drive is like double what it should be.
Now, with the drive, did you format the drive before you started?
I formatted the drive.
You call Vlad?
Nah, I didn't call Vlad.
I should call Vlad.
Yeah, I should.
I don't know what to tell you.
I called AppleCare. Dog, I've been calling.
You got to call your friend before you call Apple. They're going to take you around the
Nah, world. But you know, like, I guess. Maybe. But sometimes
you know Vlad know this kind of shit.
Yeah, he know that shit easy. That's true. But you don't want to just be hitting niggas up for the, you know what I'm saying?
I mean,
here at AppleCare, because that's what they do. That's their job. You know what I mean?
But see, you forcing them into issues. You know, just like McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? You want to take pickles off the motherfucking Big Mac. They like, what?
Pickles? No, they should know about how to move some shit
over. Wait. We're not used to that shit. Sesame seed pickles. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to tell you, dog. I think anybody's working for AppleCare now. I think they outsourced that shit. Because I be talking about
fuckers. You thought it used to be what? It used to be a high-class operation?
I thought it was a little bit of a, not a high-class, I don't say it like that, but I thought it was a, like, we all kind of read it. I mean, they probably all read it from the same thing, but I thought it was like a series of, like, X-Men.
Listen, man.
I'm thinking this genius bar's like, these motherfuckers, this is what it is. I need y'all to know this. This is it. It's whoever's.
AppleCare ain't the genius bar, one. I didn't have Apple since the sixth grade.
Flex.
No, it ain't a flex.
It is, though. Talk your talk,
and,
man.
And yeah, the customer service and the service shit like that ain't never been your friend.
Really?
No. Apple, you had to figure out with the community. The community figures out Apples. You know what I'm saying? They don't give you no manual. It's the community that come together.
They give you a manual.
No, they don't. They don't tell you all what it, when the manual that you give with your computer don't tell you all the shit that the computer can do.
No, but
they don't tell you the codes and the how to, you know, some shortcuts and all that shit.
To be fair, though, they do have, like, on all of the shit, like, tips. You can go into the tips. There's shit available.
But I'm telling you, they don't tell you all the shit.
I understand.
And then, especially when you come against a problem.
Okay.
You come against a problem, you're going to need the community. I mean, that's just
right.
How it's always been.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In the Apple world.
Right.
From my experience. So I've never... Only time I took my computer to the Genius Bar was when it just was, I thought it was just dead. But it turned out to be, the community had told me that it might be the motherfucking graphics card. Because in the 2011, whatever.
How were you corresponding with the community? You just going on message boards?
Google, and then
you get your little.
You hit the ones that fit your situation.
The forums and shit. Yeah, it's definitely figured and shit. It's like a work in a case.
The community said that the 2011 iMac had a recall on the graphics card. Right. You might be eligible for a free fix.
Right.
So I went in, and sure enough, the genius nigga told me that it was...
The genius nigga.
Said, it, you know what I'm saying, it was the graphics card.
Right.
So that was the only time I used it now, but I was going to ask you, maybe Vlad may know, where I could take... I have a Mac now that seems to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
I need to take it somewhere. And my old person who used to do that kind of shit for me, I guess she retired. You know what I'm saying? She don't answer the Mac Genius code no more.
Nah. Put up the Mac Genius, I need help, son. Yeah, they don't get no response.
No response. She, I think she's, you know what I'm saying, more of like an influencer now. Well, I can't even say she... Because she's like a trans. She's a trans.
Okay.
And I'm not sure her classification.
But they, she, I think you say they, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure of the classification for
them.
So I've been seeing her doing speeches and TED Talks and shit. So I guess she.
So it's bigger than Apple now.
Yeah, she probably don't need them.
PC.
She probably don't need them extra coins. they don't need those extra points. Right. I don't want to be disrespectful.
Yeah, I can take
but you know what I'm saying? When I met her, it was, you know what I'm saying? She was still a she. So I think she's a they or a he now.
Okay. And don't even respond no more to that type of Apple talk.
They don't respond.
That's old.
You know what I'm saying? Guess so. But I've been using
what the community telling you.
I've been using it so long that I don't really feel like searching for somebody new.
You might need to go ahead and figure it out. I don't know. It's either you gotta
the community. I done used all the community type and I done tried everything.
Call AppleCare.
They be
as lost as you.
They're gonna say bring it in. I could have found somebody to just fix it.
I'll tell you this, when they be like, yo, all right, look, can we have access to your screen? I'll be like, nah, I'm good. I've done that shit one time. I don't believe that they leave. I don't think, you know, they say, let me get access, and they walk and they say, all right, we don't got access no more. I don't believe that shit.
They could have access if they wanted at any time.
Right. So they just asking out of courtesy.
Out of courtesy. Like all this digital shit can be turned on and accessed at any time.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Anything that's digital.
Yeah.
Microphones, cameras, TVs, headphones, all that shit can be turned on.
Yeah, listen.
Whenever.
Yeah.
So, you know, man, we out here in the Matrix.
There you go.
Word.
Speaking of being out here in the Matrix, what you doing this week? Where you going to be?
I'm going to be down in Miami, dealing with some family.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then, I'll be back here in the conversation.
All right. That's what's up. Where am I at, man? I'm going to be here in New York City. And I'll be back next week. I'm out here dealing with my life.
But you can catch me on the gram, too, at Mr. Muhammad. On Twitter, at Mr. Muhammad.
There you go.
I haven't put that out there in quite some time.
You active?
I am active on the gram.
You been going live again?
No, I haven't went live again.
Okay.
It was a tough week. So
Right.
You know, so
gotcha.
I ain't go live. I ain't want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be live all in my
feelings.
In my bag, in my feelings.
Yeah, man.
Hey, y'all, I'm live. I know that might be what works, but.
Yeah, I've been seeing that. I'm not from that era either, but I done seen some live shit that, like, affected me.
Like what?
I'm concerned. Like, motherfuckers is putting the trauma on the live. Mm-hmm. They don't even stop the trauma. Sometimes, you know, I'm from the era where you kind of. You put the trauma to the side and put on a
face.
Yes. You know what I mean? Now motherfuckers is leading with the emergency.
Yeah, because I don't know. I grew up on the, well, having this house, staying in this house, everybody business ain't nobody business. You know what I'm saying?
Now it's like surveillance cameras is on. This is the real world. Yeah, I've seen some shit. But anyway. We'll be back next week. Until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
And check on your strong friends.
We out!
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.